And it's always a privilege to be able to preach at Temple, always. Open your Bible tonight to Matthew chapter number 27. I've preached on the crucifixion many times down through the years. And the verse that I'm going to read tonight, I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture. And as this past week, it's like I've read it, I can't tell you how many times, and I'm sure you've had this to happen. I read it this week, and it's like the Lord said, stop, right there. Well, Lord, I was going to read about the crucifixion again, and maybe he said, stop, right there, with that one verse. In Matthew chapter 27, and verse number 36. Matthew 27, 36, your Bible said, and sitting down, they watched him there. My Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the sweet, precious time that I've been able to spend and study and trying to digest your precious word. It's nothing like it, Lord. But now it's come to that time where I have to do what you've called me to do. I have to deliver this message, deliver my soul. And I learned a long time ago that I cannot preach, Lord. All I can do is speak, bore these folks to tears unless you anoint me. You're the true vine, and I must abide in thee. And I pray tonight that you'd hide me behind the cross, that you would take the tongs from and a hot coal off of the altar and purge my lips afresh tonight. Hold back the force of hell and give me liberty to say what you've laid upon my heart. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure you've read that many times. I've read it. And I was actually running references on something else that I'd been studying. And when I got that far along in Matthew, I thought, well, I'm just going to go through. And I'm going to study the crucifixion again. It never gets old. It's the old, old story. And if you ever get to the point in your life where the cross and the blood doesn't excite you anymore, then you've got problems. You got issues. And that's where I was headed. That's where I was headed in my study. And I read that verse that I've read so many times before, and the Lord would not let me go any farther. He said, stop right there. Think about that. Pray about that. Listen to what it's saying. And so, boy, I tell you, the Lord has just wore me out with this. And sitting down, they watched him there. You know, there's a dark side to humanity. We all know that. You'll find that if there's a wreck on the interstate, because the rubberneckers, they stop and they'll come to a complete stop in front of you. If they think that they can see some blood or maybe a mangled body part, now that's not a blanket statement. There's some folks that don't want to see that. But for the most part, you know, I'm telling you the truth. They'll run over each other trying to rubberneck at a wreck. There's a dark side to humanity. I've got a real good friend. He's a NASCAR fan. That just never was my thing. I mean, if that's yours, I'm not knocking you. You know, I'm not knocking it. But I just never was into it. And I asked him one time. As a matter of fact, we was fishing one day, and I said, what in the world do you get? I just go around and around and around in a circle. And he looked at me and he said, what do you get out of getting 20 foot up in a tree? Well, more like 10 now, you know. 20 foot up in a tree and hit below zero, sitting up there freezing to death, waiting for a deer to come through. He said, I think that's stupid. And so we was talking about that. And he said, you know, the truth of the matter is I only watch it hoping to see a good wreck. That's exactly what he told me. Yes, he is an honest man. He's even a preacher. If you find an honest preacher, buddy, that's something. But he said, truth be known, he said, I only watch it hoping to see a good wreck. That's what he said. There's some fellas here tonight that went to the same high school that I went to. I don't know how they made it, but they did. And it was told to me. There was a little newspaper that they put out at Powell, and I don't know this to be true, but it was told to me, and I have no problem believing it. But in my sophomore year at Powell High School, they reported that there was a fight every single day of the school year, either at school or behind Fred's after school, behind the gas station. Every single day there was a fight. And man, I'm telling you, they had some bad fights at Powell High School. But it would get started around that so-and-so was going to fight behind Fred's. Now, if I miss it, Robbie, and you all went there too. If they was going to, they're going to meet behind Fred's, man, this thing's going down. I mean, this one's going to be a bad one, man, because so-and-so, he's a black belt. And man, I'm telling you, that would spread through Powell High School. There would be so much excitement and curiosity going on. There's going to be a fight. Man, if they had a concession stand, they could have sold popcorn and RC and moon pies. Because they would get so caught up in that. They just wanted to get through the rest of the day and get to the fight after school. Because there's a dark side to humanity. It's in all of us. People will pay good money to sit and watch two boxers get into a ring and beat the living daylights out of each other. And man, they really get excited. Oh, he's been cut. He's been cut. Oh, he goes down. And that dark side of all of us buys into that. And somehow we enjoy watching two men get in a ring and beat each other to death. And then when you get to the MMA fighters, the women and the men, that's a whole different ball game, man. I mean, they play for keeps. They go in that cage to hurt, to maim each other. I'm telling you, whatever it takes to put your opponent out of commission, that's what they'll do. When I was still working, one of our contractors that built houses, he was a future or former MMA fighter. And he would get behind on his bill. And so the boss would say, you got to go to his office and meet with him and don't come back without a check. And the first time I had to go to his office, I thought, well, I'm going in to do what they're paying me to do, but I don't know if I'll come back out. And I sat in the truck, and I did. You might think I'm lying. I prayed, Lord, don't let him kill me. But I'm supposed to come back with a check or to pull the men off of the job site, one of the two. It's got to that point. And so I went in that first time I had to do that. And his secretary took me back. And man, I looked at this dude. I think he wanted to eat me right there. I mean, he had a set of guns on him. I mean, he was a bad dude. But he's one of the nicest men I've ever met. He made all of his money as a cage fighter. Came back here and started building houses. And I went in and I sat down and he said, Mr. McDonald, how can I help you today? And I'm thinking, dude, I hope you got a sense of humor. And this is honest truth. I looked at this MMA fighter and I said, well, I get paid to do certain jobs. He said, yeah, you run the residential inn. I said, right. But I'm also the bill collector. And I've been told, this is what I told him. I said, I have been told to either come back with a check or pull the men off of the job site, and I was informed if I have to get physical, I'll get physical. I thought, brother, you know, this is going to go one way or the other. He's probably going to kill me anyway. And I'll never forget that, Roger. He looked at me and I thought, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he busted out laughing. He did. He just started laughing. He said, Barry, that you're crazy. And he said, but I like you. I like you. Listen, give me till Friday. I said, Ben said, bring a check back. He said, we're good. I get a draw on Friday. Don't pull the men off. Don't pull them off. You come right back here Friday, I'll give you a check and buy your lunch. And that happened more times than I can count. And I said, okay, man, you got to Monday. And till Friday, and that's it. Then I got to do what I got to do. And I remember the first time that happened, walking out and getting in my truck, and I thought, I just talked down an MMA fighter. Wow. He had mercy on me. But he spent most of his life beating the living daylights out of his opponent. And there's something about human nature that feeds on dark things sometimes. I get into football. I get into college football. I get into it a little too hard sometimes. When me and Mike would get together and watch college football, sometimes they'd call 911. We'd get so loud. We'd turn furniture over and everything. And this past year, during college football, I was by myself. Shannon was sitting over there, and she'd watch a little bit and then play with the dog and watch it for a little bit. And I said, man, they need to break his leg. If they don't break that quarterback's leg, we're not going to win this game. He's picking our, and I was loud like that. He's picking our secondary apart. This is ridiculous. And it got quiet, and Shannon said, listen to yourself, preacher. That's what she said, brother. You want to see that young man get hurt? Well, if they could just, I'm speaking with a linebacker mentality. If one of those linebackers could just bruise his ribs a little bit, I mean, not mess him up bad, just enough to get him out of the game. She said, you better get on your face and ask God to forgive you. I said, I don't mean nothing bad, Mom. Just maybe they just twist his ankle, or they got to do something. We're not going to win this game. And you know, I got thinking about that. Now, when I said it, I partially meant it. Partially. How many knows what I'm talking about? The truth of the matter is, I didn't want to see that young man get hurt, but I didn't want to see our boys get beat either. And I wanted to see one of them linebackers. Man, I mean just absolutely get a running start and leave him laying flat on his back blowing snot bubbles. That's what my football coach used to say. He would say, if they're not blowing snot bubbles, when you get off of them, you didn't hit them hard enough. Yeah. Now see, they was a part of me. And you think about it, I didn't want to see that young man get hurt. I didn't want to see that at all. But if you give it an opportunity, that dark side that's in every single one of us, it'll come out. And sometimes it'll frighten you. So there's a dark side. Not only that, but there's curiosity seekers. That's all they'll ever be, is a curiosity seeker. The Bible said in sitting down, they watched him there. Just like they would sit and watch a ball game. They sat down. Now understand, it's speaking of the centurions. That was part of their job, was to sit there until their victim died. Part of their job was to see it through to the very end. So of course they sat, one stood, got a little too close to the cross. That's a different message. But as a whole, the people sat and they watched him there. Amen. Nothing but curiosity seekers. My. Now listen, sometimes curiosity can be a good thing. In Proverbs chapter number 25, some kinds of curiosity, the Bible says, will help you to search out the matter. And anytime you get curious enough about something, it's good to seek out a matter. Seek it out. And the best thing you can use to seek it out is the way the Bereans did. The Bereans searched the scriptures to see if these things be so. If your search engine is the Word of God, curiosity can be a good thing. It can work to your favor. Curiosity. Acts 17, the Bereans. Then I remember, I was thinking about that, and I remembered many, many, many years ago working with this ace mechanic that couldn't just fix something. He had to know why it broke. He had to know what caused it to break. I just wanted to rebuild that Type 1 Volkswagen air-cooled engine. Tear that thing down, send it off and have the case line bored, get the jug sent in, get the pistons, get the rings, and put that thing back together. But one day this ace mechanic, he said, brother, have you ever realized that when these engines drop an exhaust valve, it's always on number 3 cylinder? And I said, yeah, it is. It seems to be the exhaust valve on number 3 cylinder when it drops one. He said, why is that? And since he signed my paycheck, I didn't want to be a smart aleck, but in my mind I'm thinking, I don't care.
Who cares?
It didn't have my curiosity, but it did this ace mechanic. And guess what? He figured it out. He figured it out. He came to me and he said, "That's it." I said, "What?" He said, "The oil cooler. It sits right above number three cylinder. It's an air-cooled engine. It's starving number three cylinder. It's not getting enough air. That's why it's dropping the valve." Wow. Wow. When he tells somebody that, you could be a millionaire. Because they were really bad to do. But here's the point I'm getting to. Curiosity can be a good thing. If it causes you to seek out a matter, honestly, curiosity can be a good thing. On the other hand, curiosity can be a bad thing. It can be a really bad thing. What do you mean, preacher? Many an ER visit has started with, "I wonder what would happen if we... I wonder what would happen if I stuck my thumb in this log splitter, Sean. I wonder what would happen if I stepped off of this ceiling joist. You reckon that sheetrock would hold me up, Sean?" Curiosity can be a bad thing. It can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing. Deception many times breeds curiosity. In Genesis chapter number 3, the serpent said, "Yea, hath God said that you can eat the trees of the garden?" And he said, "Well, yeah, we can eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, except the one that's in the midst, in the middle. We're not supposed to eat of that." And he said, paraphrasing, he said, I'm paraphrasing, it's not what the Bible. "Aren't you a little curious as to why God don't want you to eat that fruit?" And Eve, being human, I'm sure she thought, I guess the thought crossed my mind. "Don't you want to know why?" See, God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. So her curiosity that was brought on by deception caused her to partake of the fruit. And in so doing, she died spiritually. My, it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. It was a bad thing in Acts 26. Agrippa listened to Paul preach. Paul preached to Agrippa, and sitting down, Agrippa watched him there. And he listened to what Paul had to say. He was curious about this man called Paul. When Paul finished his message, Agrippa, all he had was curiosity. It never went any farther. He said, "You know, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." In 1 Samuel chapter number 6, the men of Beth Shemesh, their curiosity got the best of them. And they looked inside the Ark of the Covenant. And by so doing, 120,000 died. Amen. Curiosity can be a bad thing. In Exodus chapter number 19, the Lord told Moses, "Do not let the people break through to the mountain and gaze upon it." Yeah. "Stop the curiosity seekers, Moses, lest they die." Amen. My. I had many co-workers. I had a job for, outside of plumbing, I drove a truck. And a bunch of us would leave out at the same time. And they would get on the CB radio, and they'd say, "Preacher," and they'd watch a movie over the weekend, you know, and they'd think, "Wow, man, I wonder if there's anything in the Bible like that." And all the time they'd say, tell us about the end times. What about this mark of the beast thing? What is that? Where's that at in the Bible?" And we'd go down the interstate on a separate channel, and I'd talk about the end times, talk about the tribulation period, the millennium. And man, they liked that. But they were only curiosity seekers. Yeah, they just wanted to hear. They had no intention whatsoever of ever changing the way they were living. And there's one of them, I could call his name right now. I could call his name. He would always say, "Golly, Mac, that's interesting. That's interesting." And then he'd go back to talking about a bunch of garbage and junk. But they would ask me so many times, "Tell us about the end times. How's it going to end? What is the mark of the beast? What is this universal mark?" And so going down the road, after a while, I realized they had no intentions of changing their ways. They had no intentions of getting in the house of God and getting right and getting saved. And the last time they done that, and I said, "I'm all fresh out about that, but I'm going to talk about the cross and the blood." Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the cross, and we're going to talk about the blood. We're going to talk about some things that if you're only curious about it, you'll end up in hell. Amen. When it comes to the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't just be curious about it. You better act on it. There's many in hell right tonight because all they ever done was come to the house of God and sit down and watch you there. Curiosity seekers. Man, I pastored some of them. I pastored people, and I'd look at them, and Shannon get mad at me on the way home. I said, "Sit down beside Sister so-and-so next week and grab her arm, see if she's still breathing." They'd come in, sit down in the house of God, and sitting down, they would watch you there. That's it. Curiosity seekers. What's going to be new this Sunday? Who's going to be singing this Sunday? Heard there was a dog fight. Then they'll load up and carpool. They're not looking for the truth. They're curiosity seekers. Just like those that sat at the foot of the cross and they watched him there as a spectacle. Curiosity seekers, man. They don't care enough. They don't want to do with the Lord. They just want to be there and be curious. When I pastored my first church, I had to stand up on a Sunday morning with a black eye. I did. And it's a long story. I didn't do nothing wrong. My daddy was there when it happened. And my daddy's the one that called the police, Sevier County. And I merely held the guy down on the ground until Sevier County got there to get him. But before I could do that, he come on my property drinking, and he sucker punched me. Right? I mean sucker punched me right in the eye, man. And I could feel that thing swelling immediately. Now understand this. I still went to Knox County Jail when I was pastoring my first church. I met my daddy up there early. We preached at Knox County Jail. Then I went to the church that I was pastoring and preached on Sunday morning. Those women, when we preached in the women's cell in Knox County, they loved us. I'm telling you, they loved us. And I was dreading them seeing my black eye more than I was the church that I pastored. Boy, you let a preacher walk in with a black eye, all kinds of stuff gets started. How did Preacher Lawson get that black eye? They said he fell down. But you know he's a former Marine, don't you? I guarantee you stuff like that got started. Yeah. I wonder what the other feller looks like. Curiosity seekers. I walked in that morning, me and my dad, up at Knox County Jail to the women, and I wish you could have heard them women. "Oh, preacher. Oh, what happened to your eye, honey?" It's okay. "Did somebody up here at this jail do that to you?" "Man, it was about to be a riot. They were tore all to pieces because I had a black eye." And I said, "Ladies, it's nothing." "Oh, bless your, come over here next to the bar. Let me just rub it, honey." I mean, I'm telling you that they were tore all to pieces because I had a black eye. But then we left there and I went to my church and I told my dad, I said, "Golly, Dad, I wish I could get somebody to preach for me this morning." And he said, it don't look that bad. And I looked at him, I said, "Dad, yeah, it's bad." And so I had to go. And boy, I'm telling you, you walk into a church you're pastoring, and I mean, you've got a shiner's shiner. I'm talking about one of those that you cannot hide it. And boy, the curiosity seekers. Preacher, even the little kids was walking by going. And you look, hey, you don't get out of here. You know. And people. Of course, the men. What happened to your eye? Well, I couldn't lie and say I run into a door. Or I tripped and fell on the floor. I didn't mean that, brother. I didn't mean it. I said I got hit in the eye with a fist. Huh. Did you go to jail? I said, no, I did not go to jail. Huh. Well, did the fellow that hit you? You know, as my first church, I know a lot more now. I know a lot more. After I preached that Sunday, they called an immediate men's meeting before Sunday night service. And those men got me down there, buddy, and they grilled me. We have a right to know. You're our pastor. How'd you get a black eye? Yes, sir. Now, I know better now. Yes, sir. I know what I'd have told them now. But I was still wet behind the ears, man. We have a right to know. How come you got a black eye? I said, me and my dad was working on my house that had been vandalized. A guy pulled up in my driveway. He was drinking. He wasn't drunk. But he pulled up in my driveway and told me he's the one that vandalized my house. And he said, what are you going to do about it? I know what I wanted to do about it. But I'd done the right thing and I looked at my dad. My dad said, we're going to pray for you. That's what we're going to do about it. We're going to pray for you. Pray you get your heart right with God. And then he made a mistake. He was older than me but younger than my dad. He cussed my dad. Mm-mm. No, you talking about the Adam nature still being there? But all I'd done was get him on the ground while my dad, still a landline, called Sevier County, and they come and arrested this clown. And so the men, here's what they said. How'd he get on the ground? I don't know. I guess he tripped. I don't know. It all happened real fast. He just ended up on the ground. And then one of the deacons looked down and said, where'd you get that scar on your right hand there, pal? I said, I cut myself shaving. But man, I'm telling you, for the next 6 months, you know what? That on Sunday night, this is how quick that thing. On Sunday night, we had twice as many people than we'd normally have on Sunday night. They just wanted to come and see the preacher with the black eye. They did. On Wednesday night, I thought, are you kidding me? Where'd all these people come from? Where'd they come from? They were nothing but curiosity seekers. They just wanted to see a preacher with a black eye. A little old market down from where the church was. I could go there and get gas. And I got to know that lady. She's a very sweet lady. And so I went in there one day and got gas and went in there to pay her. And she said, well, there's that fighting preacher. I said, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Curiosity seekers. Man, that's all they think about. Pilate was curious. He was curious. And he looked at Jesus. And he said, are you the king of the Jews? Curiosity got him. And Jesus said, thou sayest. In John chapter number 18, he looked at Jesus and he said, what is truth? You think he meant that? A curiosity seeker. He didn't even listen for the answer. Amen. Those that sat around and they watched him there. You know why they were there? To try to see some blood. I wonder how long he'll suffer. I wonder if he'll curse his tormentors. Is his mother here? Is there anybody crying for? Man, listen to me. That's how curiosity, they don't care about the truth. They don't care about the pain. They're just curious. You say, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It can wind you up in the pit of the damned. When it comes to the cross and the blood and the gospel and salvation, if you never get any higher than a curiosity seeker, that curiosity will send you to the pit. You got to get more than just curious about the cross and the blood. They were curiosity seekers. How long? They said, oh, be quiet. I think I heard him call for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah mysteriously shows up and saves him from the cross. And sitting down, they just watched him there as a spectacle. Didn't care about anything spiritual. Man, they just wanted to feed their curiosity. But they got more than they bargained for. When the sky turned dark, the rocks rent in twain, and even a hardened centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. My. There was a man that went to a church that I pastored, and he would come in, and he'd sit the same place every time, dressed real nice, and they said he was a very educated man. But he'd come every Sunday morning. He was there like clockwork. And so I inquired about this man. And it was your Uncle Bill that told me about him. Said, well, he's a hard one to figure out, preacher. Said, he's been coming here. He's been coming to this church for years. He's never joined. We've went on visitation and talked to him. And he's lost. He's never been saved. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no. He's friendly enough to everybody. But said, that man's never been saved. And he's regular. He's always here on Sunday morning. A lot of times he comes on Wednesday night. Boy, that got to working on me. I thought, golly, bum, I got to talk to this fella. And he said, well, he only lives the fourth house on the left up from the church. And so a couple of days after that, I was running some errands. Just so happened as I was coming back up the road, I seen him putting his lawnmower up. He'd lost his wife. He's by himself. And he's putting his lawnmower up. And I just pulled in his driveway. He knew exactly. He knew my car. He come down there and he said, how you doing, preacher? And I said, I'm doing good. I couldn't call him brother. He's not my spiritual brother. And I said, can we talk for a minute? Sure. And I said, they tell me you've been coming to the church for a long time. Oh, I've lost count. I've went to that church for years. And I said, the men told me that you're not a member and that you've never been saved. You've never asked the Lord to come into your heart. No. No, he said, I'm a curious kind of fella. He said, I check into a bunch of different religions. And he said, I've always been that curious type. You know what I mean, preacher? I'm just curious about things like that. But no, I've never let myself really get serious about an issue like that. Yeah, how would you handle a conversation like that? And with all the love I could muster, I looked at that man and I said, you can keep going to that church for another 25 years. I said, if you die in your sins with nothing more than curiosity, I said, you'll go to hell and you'll burn for eternity. Amen. Yes. Yep. He said, well, I never really thought about that. I don't like to think about things like that. Those are dark things. And I said, those are true things. They're true things. But he told me out of his own mouth that he was nothing more than a curiosity seeker. And after that conversation, believe it or not, he came back to the church. Nothing changed. He was still coming to that church when I left. Still lost. Still a curiosity seeker. Still curious about different religions. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah. Now, if I ended right there, man, what a gloom and doom after the service we had this morning. But there was another man at Calvary that day. Maybe you've heard of him. His name was Simon of Cyrene. And the Bible said as Simon was coming out of Jerusalem proper during the Passover, he was just trying to get out of there. Jesus is carrying his cross down the Via Dolorosa. And evidently, and there's nothing in this Bible that I've ever found that he fell beneath the load. No, they don't say that. That's a traditional thing. He fell beneath the load and Saint Veronica put, oh, come on. We're going to stick to the truth tonight. Evidently, Jesus wasn't moving quick enough. They wanted to get the show on the road. Stay with me now. They wanted to get the show on the road. And the Bible said they compelled. They called out one Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross. He was compelled. He was called out. And he took that cross beam upon his own back. And the blood, from the blood of God's blood, perfect blood, righteous blood, amen, began to soak into his garments. And there he was carrying that cross beam, walking behind the Lord's Christ, literally walking in a pool of blood, yep, that was coming from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood soaking in. Woo! Now listen, you can come here to this church, and there's folks I worry about, man, at every church I've ever been at. You never see them pray. You never see them on the altar. You never see them go to a brother or sister in Christ. They just come in, and sitting down, they watch you there. Yeah. Just mere curiosity seekers. Every church has them. Here's the difference. Simon was compelled. He was called out. Here is the dividing factor. You can just be a spectator all you want to. You can be a curiosity seeker all you want to. You can determine that you're going to come into the house of God and you're only going to listen with your natural ears. Yes, you can determine that. But the day will come when you're going to be called out of the crowd. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, you're going to be called out of the crowd and you're going to be brought face to face with the cross and the blood. And the curiosity part's over. Then you've got to make a decision. Then you've got to decide. It's no longer curiosity about the cross will send you to hell. But once the Holy Spirit of God calls you out of the crowd, well, how would I know when oh, you'll know. You'll know. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you'll know. A young man that I pastored, his first name's Josh. That's all I'll tell you. He was under conviction. His mom and daddy came to me, said he's asking questions. I think Josh was like 12, 13 years old. And they said, we're not pushing him. We're not pushing him. We're not pushing him. I said, no, don't push him. But preacher, the Lord's working on him. He's working on him. One Sunday morning after I preached, give the invitation, I couldn't keep my, I had a burden for him. I've been praying for him. And I couldn't keep my eyes off of him. Give the invitation, and I seen him get up and come to the front. Whew. And I thought, somebody needs to take over. I want this one. I'll never forget this, Robbie. I've never heard nobody say anything like this. This was a very honest young man that came from a very strict Christian household. I got down beside him, and I said, why have you come, Josh? And he looked at me, and this is exactly how he looked at me. He said, I don't know. I'm hearing a voice. He said, I'm hearing a voice in my heart that I've never heard before. Woo! See, he was as good as already in. I said, you're hearing a voice? He said, I've never heard this voice before. It didn't speak to my ear. It spoke to my heart. And I said, what did it say? It said, come to me, Josh. Come to me. Oh, God. And I said, Josh, guess where you are right now? Yeah, you've got his full audience. Yeah, you've got his full audience. He said, what do I need to do? Tell him you heard the knock. And he said, oh, okay. Now, he was shedding tears. Tell him you heard that voice. Okay. And you want to answer it. You want to answer it. You want to give your heart to him right now and for him to be your Savior and your Lord. I said, you've got to ask him. I he could have just said, Lord, remember me. But he said, Lord, there's a voice in my heart I was a basket case. I was wanting to shout before anybody else did. Yeah. And he said, my preacher told me to answer that voice, and I want to answer that voice. And this little 13, 14 years old, and he said, Lord, if you'll have me, I want you. Yeah. Yes, hallelujah. Yeah. Man, that's the difference. That's the difference of sitting in a service and only being a spectator, only being somebody that's looking for something that's non-spiritual, only listening with your natural ear, seeing with your natural eye. But once the Holy Ghost of God calls you out of the crowd, buddy, calls your name and brings you out and puts you under Holy Ghost conviction. Oh, my, my, my. I wonder what happened to Simon of Cyrene. What happened to him? You reckon he left there with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on his back and just went back to Cyrene and said, boy, man, I don't ever go back to Jerusalem. No, the Bible tells you a little bit about Simon of Cyrene. A lot of times when daddy gets saved, the whole family will get saved. And you'll find in Acts chapter number 11 that men of Cyrene was out preaching Jesus is Lord. I wonder where they heard that. You'll find in Romans chapter 16 that Paul mentions Rufus, which was the son of Simon of Cyrene. He had two boys, Alexander and Rufus. My, my, my. You can't get near that blood and near that cross and it not change you. Amen. Amen. Curiosity seekers, once they've been called out, they can't handle that long. I wonder tonight, I wonder in my heart, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm being honest with you. I've pastored and preached to so many curiosity seekers, man. I'm telling you, come, sit, look, bored stiff. I called a guy out one time. I'm bad to do that, so I got no business pastoring, brother. I ain't got no business doing that. And I was preaching at this church, and I asked this guy, I said, so how many tiles were there in the ceiling? Did I not do that? Yeah. The whole time I'm preaching my lungs out, Roger, this guy's, what was he doing there? A curiosity seeker. See it. Looking for something new. Some new thing. Are they feuding down there? Are they fighting? Who is this preacher? And I looked right at him and I said, well, sir, how many, what was the total count of tiles in the ceiling you come up with? Of course, he looked at me like I was crazy. I wonder tonight with all of my heart, I love you. I love his church. I do. This is the kind of church, I've come here, stayed, worked in the church, done this, leave, go pastor, go get beat up, go get chewed up and spit back out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, amen, preachers? Yeah. And I come limping back into temple. And temple's a place that you can heal. This has always been the kind of church that you can come back into. They won't judge you. They won't play 20 questions with you. What happened? How come you're not pastoring anymore? They just love on you. They do. And they support you. That's what they do. God's pleased with that. He's pleased with that. So when I say these things, I'm not saying it because I'm mad at you. I want to help us. When you come in here and sit down, are you just a curiosity seeker or are you hungry? Are you hungry for something spiritual? Do you want something that this world cannot give you? When I come in here every single service, I'm hungry. Every time I was a curiosity seeker, I ended up in the ER. So I don't do that much anymore. Some people never learn their lesson. But what are you? When you come in here, do you get excited about the service? Does it not excite you that Temple Baptist Church of Fountain City has, how can I say that in the right way, has the cream of the crop when it comes to pastors? I'm not blowing him up. He knows me better than that. I'm just stating facts. When you come in here and you sit down on Sunday and there's people from here, 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 here. Don't that make you a little bit in the right kind of pride? There's good pride and bad pride. But a little bit say, that's our pastor right there. They're coming from everywhere to hear him. Mm-hmm. And if it don't make you swell up a little bit like that with pride, then maybe there's something wrong with you. When I see them hands go up and they start talking, people come up here and talk to me when they can't get to him. You know, I'm always, you know, oh, we can't get to him. Who's this fat boy down here? And they'll tell me, we've been watching him for years. Are you anybody here? And I said, no, I ain't nobody. Well, will you tell him we've been watching him for years? He feeds our soul. Man, we may come in here and not take advantage of what God's give us and just sitting down and watch him there. and just be nothing more than curiosity seekers, there's a whole bunch of people outside that's getting fed.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, they're feasting. Amen. They're feasting on the manna. And this hit me the other day. I'm through. I'm done. That's what the Lord laid on my heart. I'm going to say one more thing. I wrote this down just before I left. I was talking about what changed Simon of Cyrene was the blood and the cross. When he was called out, when the Holy Ghost of God calls you out from the crowd, brings you face to face with a bloody cross, you got to do something then, man. I mean, it's the time for procrastination, it's over. Because he's only obligated to give you one opportunity. You know that, don't you? He's only obligated to call you one time. That's right. Thank God he called me more than once. But you cannot separate God the Father from the blood. Did you know that? Can't do it. Acts 20:28. You cannot separate God the Son from the blood. Luke chapter number 22 and verse 20. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood that's shed for you. And you can't separate the Holy Ghost from the blood. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. The Bible said that there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there's three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood.
Amen.
Man, my. Man, don't live the rest of your life being a spectator and just a curiosity seeker. You'll end up, there'll be people that goes to hell that spent most of their life inside the walls of a church house. I believe that. I honestly believe it with all of my heart. I really believe that. Good meaning people, but they never got above being a curiosity seeker. My Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of the blessed, precious, righteous, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. My Father, I've always told you I can't preach unless you paint me a picture. And you always do. But I'm not the painter you are. I've never been good enough at painting such a beautiful picture that you paint me. I pray, Lord, tonight that somebody somewhere, either here or out there, got something, got encouraged from the word tonight. Your word will not return void, but it will prosper in a thing where you send it. God, I pray tonight. I thank you for using me. You laid this on my heart in such a burdensome way. That burden's gone. It's gone now. And I pray if there's someone here tonight that realizes, my goodness, I've never really got serious. I've never really got serious about spiritual things. I come in, I sit down, I take my place. I'm a spectator. I am curious. God, I pray that you would deal with that soul tonight in a way that only you can. I ask it in Jesus' sweet, precious, blessed name. Amen.